And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hey, everyone. How y'all doing? Everyone having a good evening or doing well whenever or wherever y'all are listening from. No Musab, no Zach, no one. Just me this week. Hope that's all right with y'all. And if it's not, you can tune back in next week and Zach and Musab will be back with us. But for now, you're stuck with me. And I'll be discussing this week in Bucks football. You know, a lot of stuff happened this past week. It was really fun. They obviously pulled out that gutsy 20-16 victory over the Detroit Lions. They've got the Denver Broncos coming up this weekend. A lot of injury stuff, some stuff around football, you know, some interesting rules changes being proposed by Mel Kiper Jr. I'll get into that a little bit just because, you know, it's just very odd stuff, but that'll be later on in the episode. But for now, if this is your first time listening or if you're a returning listener and you haven't done so already, please hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you're hearing. You can hear more from Zach and Musab in the future and from me, of course. So definitely do that as well if you don't mind. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. All right, so we'll get right into it. Obviously, the Bucks took down the Lions, like I mentioned, 20-16. The defense obviously played a lot better than I think a lot of us expected. I don't want to speak for the rest of the Bucks fans in the world, but I can speak for me, Musab, and Zach, and we all kind of expected the defense to leak a little bit. You know, they were without Antoine Winfield Jr. Kalijah Kancey, unfortunately, was out as well. And then Vita Vea, he unfortunately went down with a lower body injury in the middle of the game. And the Bucks defense just kind of had that bend but don't break mentality. They almost gave up 500 yards of offense total, but they only allowed one touchdown in seven red zone trips, which is really outstanding. They gave up three field goals, but you know, if you're going to give up three field goals, that's a great day. So I thought that was a really impressive performance from this defense. You know, obviously they had some leaks here and there, some busted coverages, because that's going to happen against the Lions. They have some really talented playmakers in St. Brown and Laporta, as well as that dynamic running back duo with Gibbs and Montgomery. But for the most part, they were able to really do a nice job against Jared Goff. They didn't necessarily disrupt Jared Goff in the pocket. He had a relatively clean pocket for the most part, although Yaya Diaby did a nice job of, you know, disrupting things. He got some pressures in there. But yeah, for the most part, they did a really, really nice job against the pass, and their estimated points added, that's something I'm going to be talking about a lot this episode, because Zach and Musab, they don't really love that statistic because, hey, you know, it doesn't measure points or wins, and I get it, but I'm a big fan, and their ranking against the pass is pretty nice. Against the run, not so much, but fortunately, the good news is, or the bad news, I guess, depending on your point of view, both of those things should kind of regress towards their usual performances, which is that they struggle a little bit against the pass, but they're usually relatively stout against the run. And that trend should be really, really, you know, it should really show itself this weekend against the Broncos. But yeah, speaking of those injuries, I mean, Vea went down with that injury in the middle of the game. Kancey's also going to be out this week. Antoine Winfield Jr. out. Obviously, I believe he's on injured reserve, but he's expected to be out at least a few more weeks. And Luke Gedecky, that's a tough one as well. He's unfortunately out again. So if you think about it, you know, the Bucks emerging from this week being 2-0, that's pretty outstanding, especially considering how many injuries they had to withstand in that week two matchup against an outstanding team in the Detroit Lions. You know, the Lions are potential Super Bowl contenders. They were NFC Championship game last year. They were this close to making it all the way to the Super Bowl and unfortunately took an uncharacteristic collapse from that team and some failed fourth down conversions from Dan Campbell, ever the aggressor. And that's, you know, that's unfortunately how it happened for the Lions. But, you know, they're a really quality team, all that to say. So I was really impressed with the Bucks this past weekend. And obviously, you know, they gave up the fake punt pass conversion to Dan Campbell. He's always going to be pulling out some wild stuff. So that was kind of cool to see, honestly, as a football fan. But obviously for the Bucks, probably want to do a little bit of a better job containing that, especially against Dan Campbell, because this Lions team could very well be a rematch, assuming both teams make the playoffs, which I think both teams sort of expect to. So I don't know. It's going to be really exciting, though, to see how the Bucks put this all together, especially once they get healthy. But on the offensive side of the ball, they managed to put some stuff together. You know, Baker Mayfield threw a pick that was a bit tough. It was a bit uncharacteristic, but he did some nice things on the ground. He ran for a touchdown. He had a nice little juke move that kind of went viral. And then, of course, the touchdown pass to Chris Godwin, which was really, really impressive. Him and Chris Godwin have just been fantastic to start this season. They've been really putting it together nicely. So I was really, really impressed with how they were able to continue that performance from week one, because, you know, Mike Evans is obviously a huge part of this offense, but the Lions clearly had a nice game plan to put together for Mike Evans and kind of doing their best to limit his impact on this game. But Chris Godwin was able to take advantage of that, and the numbers sort of bear it out there. He's second in total EPA for receivers, estimated points added, and he's eighth in yards after the catch. These are figures that I got from Summer Sports, great website if you want to check that out. So that was really impressive to watch. That's been really, really great to see. Chris Godwin just doing his thing out there. He's kind of proven Mr. Blaine wrong. Unfortunately, I'll have to give him some crap for that next week when he returns. But yeah, that's been really impressive to watch for sure. Overall, really nice victory for the Bucs. Really excited to see how they move forward and capitalize on this momentum, because it's a big deal. You know, going 2-0 to start the year. There are some teams that are Super Bowl contenders that have gone 0-2. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens fell to the Raiders this week. Huge surprise, huge shock. The Gardner Minshew-led Las Vegas Raiders, a bit of a shock there. Lamar Jackson and company are really going to have to bear down and figure some stuff out, because, man, going 0-3, that's a really, really tough hole to climb out of. But around the rest of the NFC South, the Panthers, my goodness, they have made quite a mess of things this past week. Obviously, they took another L, you know, not really a big surprise there. But unfortunately, they've benched Bryce Young. They have decided that Andy Dalton is the best, you know, best option moving forward for the quarterback position, which, for better or for worse, we're going to find out if that actually bears out to be true. Mr. Dalton obviously has a lot of experience starting in the NFL. He's a savvy veteran, the Red Rocket, I guess that's his nickname. He's had some good years. He had some really, really quality seasons in Cincinnati. Obviously he led them to the playoffs a few times, no playoff victories famously. But him and AJ Green formed a really, really nice duo. But Dave Canales, the former Bucs offensive coordinator, now Panthers head coach, he made the decision, or him and the owner. That's kind of another weird storyline and another weird aspect to this. But yeah, it's just been a really disappointing development for Carolina. You know, Bryce Young, there were so many high hopes. He had such an illustrious career at Alabama. He was obviously surrounded by a really great, great team in Alabama. And we had a discussion in our little chat before this episode about how, you know, it's tough to evaluate college quarterbacks in general, but, you know, it's especially tough when maybe you're playing on a team that was as good as those Alabama teams. Like, is he really truly, is that his true talent level? Or maybe was he bolstered a little bit by the fact that he was playing with, you know, three NFL caliber starting wide receivers, a really great running back, and an amazing offensive line? There was just a lot of talent on those Alabama teams. So, but it's tough to also say that, you know, that every quarterback with a good team around them is going to struggle, because on the flip side of that, CJ Stroud has been fantastic. He had another great game this past weekend against the Bears. Caleb Williams struggled a little bit, but so, you know, there are examples of guys that were on really great teams that can come into the NFL and have success. So I don't know that that's necessarily a reason, but yeah, Bryce Young, I don't necessarily disagree with the decision, but I don't know that I agree with putting this all on Bryce Young. His development was very rushed. They sort of threw him into the fire. I think he's probably developed some pretty rough habits after having to deal with a really rough offensive line in year one. Also, having Adam Thielen as your number one wideout, that's not always going to be ideal. So clearly moving forward, that's going to be something to monitor, especially for the Bucs, because, hey, they get to play the Panthers twice this season, and the Panthers could be in for another rough season. Maybe not quite 1-15 or 1-16, whatever their final record ended up being. But my goodness, it might be a bit rough, and things could get a lot worse before they get any better. So that's certainly something to monitor moving forward. But yeah, the Falcons, they managed to sneak out a victory in Philadelphia. The Kirko chains, whatever you want to call it, he managed to lead the Falcons on a really fantastic game-winning touchdown drive. Bit of a controversial decision with Nick Sirianni, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. They were inside, I think it was – It was inside the red zone for sure, and it was 3rd and 3. He made the decision to pass, allowing the Falcons to keep one of their timeouts, and he had a great, and they had a great play call. You know, Kellen Moore did a nice job to get Saquon Barkley open, but unfortunately, Saquon Barkley unable to haul in the pass, and it was incomplete, stopped the clock, and it ended up being 4th and 3, which, if you look at analytics, if you look at certain metrics, that's still a go situation. That's still going for it because they were inside, I believe they were inside the 10. They might've been at the 6. So I think they're going to have to live with that for a while. That's going to sting for a while for Philadelphia. But for the Falcons, they managed to sneak out a victory on a Drake London touchdown, much to the detriment of one of my fantasy teams because Drake London was on the other team and that came in just to secure the victory. But specifically for the Falcons, now they're 1-1. There was a lot of concern about Kirk Cousins. He looked a bit uneasy, a bit uncomfortable in that opening matchup with the Steelers. And it was looking rough, and people were thinking, oh, man, is it going to be Michael Penix time really early this year? And fortunately, he's been able to sort of correct the ship. Whether it's temporarily or not, we'll have to see. But he did a really nice job leading that final drive, and the Falcons managed to sneak out a victory despite being down in the final seconds. I mean, it's just – It was an intense game, but it felt like a very winnable game for Philadelphia. And unfortunately for the Bucs, now the Falcons are 1-1 instead of 0-2. They've got to potentially deal with the Falcons. That could be a big deal coming down the stretch as the division gets tight. And, you know, the records, you know, a win's always huge. So it's going to be tough. So that Eagles, oh man, that Eagles miscue with the decision not to go for it. They kicked the field goal to go up 6, and they let the Falcons get the ball at the 25 instead of the 6. Just some pretty rough stuff there. But you know, that's the Bucs will have to deal with the Falcons in the future, but that's a little bit in the future. For now, they're dealing with the Broncos. But before we get into that Broncos game, we've got some players of the game because the Bucs came out with a victory and it was a really impressive game. So there were a lot of really impressive performances. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. Chris Godwin, he was the player of the game. Offensively, he had a really outstanding game. And like I mentioned before, he's just had a really, really strong start to the year. One of the best wide receiver performances in football right now. You know, I don't know that very many, myself included, saw that coming. I think I'm much higher than some other people, Zach Blaine. But, you know, he's having a really great start, almost a career year maybe pending, and at the right time for him because he's going to be a free agent after this offseason. So he's putting it all together, and, you know, hopefully he'll get a big payday out of this, whether it's with the Bucs or with another team. Wish him nothing but the best, obviously. And hopefully he can continue this high stellar play and stay healthy. That's been a big thing for him. So if he's able to stay healthy, I have no doubt that he'll be able to put together a nice season. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going with Zion McCollum. He was really, really nice. He had the interception, obviously, on the defensive side, coming up with a turnover like that, a takeaway. That's going to be huge, especially against the Lions. You know, the Lions like to play that brand of football to take care of the ball, and they didn't really do a great job of it. You know, Goff came away with a couple interceptions, and Zion McCollum came away with one of them. So he had the interception and obviously 4 pass deflections as well. He's been a very, very pleasant surprise. He's been quite good. Not necessarily, you know, I'm not going to go out. He's not Sauce Gardner. I'm not going to say something outlandish there, but he has been a very solid second cornerback out there with Jamel Dean. A lot of his PFF grades have been quite acceptable for a second cornerback. And that's going to be huge moving forward, especially because, you know, the Bucs are going to have to deal with the Saints eventually. And we'll get into how the Saints did because they absolutely dominated the Cowboys. And they've got Raheem Shaheed, who's been just otherworldly, really, to start the year. And obviously Chris Olave is a really, really great receiver as well. So Zion McCollum and Jamel Dean, they're going to have to come up big. So if they want to, you know, if they want to have some competitive games with those Saints teams, because the Saints look deadly, they look really, really interesting, then they're going to have to get some high-quality performances from McCollum and Jamel Dean. And McCollum, you know, like I said, he's been quite good to start the year, and he had a really good game Sunday. So hopefully he can keep that trend up. And if you're looking for maybe an outfit of the game, if you're looking for something that you can, you know, put on game day or whatever the case may be, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great gear for you, Bucks related as well. But really, if you're just looking for anything Tampa Bay sports, something to rock and something to wear for the rest of the year, it's going to maybe not in Tampa. Maybe if you're not in Tampa, maybe if you're around the country and you're looking for something to get a little warm, we've got some long sleeve stuff on there too. But if you're in Tampa, obviously it doesn't really get that cold. So maybe you'll look for a t-shirt. But regardless, anything Tampa Bay sports related and you're looking for some gear, we've got it. And we'll give you a promo code since the Bucks won this past week to celebrate. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. You type it in, get 10% off your entire order. All right, we're hitting the next half of our episode. Hope you haven't minded my jibber-jabbering, but I'm having a lot of fun, and the Bucks are hopefully going to have a lot of fun this weekend because, my goodness, they get to play the Denver Broncos, and they've been rough. They're also 0-2. They've got the rookie Bo Nix. The head coaching situation has always been a bit weird with them. They traded for Sean Payton from the Saints. Sean Payton, obviously very familiar with the Bucks from his time in New Orleans. So that's going to be really interesting. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk about the Mel Kiper Jr. situation from this past week. Obviously, he's known for mostly being an NFL draft guy, but he went on some show, I think it was First Take or one of those, you know, sports hot takey shows in the morning, and went on this long diatribe about outlawing the too high safety look. And he talked about how, oh, the safeties are off the screen now. You can't really see them. And, you know, it's an interesting view. It's kind of a humorous view if you want to go look at the rant. But he's talking about how Fran Tarkenton and all these, you know, legendary quarterbacks, they didn't have to play against those looks and they did a lot of great stuff. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting watch if you want to check it out for sure. But, I don't know what to make of it, to be quite honest. It was a weird watch. You know, the Bucks don't have to deal with that. Tom Brady was really, really great dealing with that stuff, and Baker Mayfield obviously has been very productive. But I think the context of this is really that offense in general around the NFL has been a bit down to start this year. You know, the first 2 weeks, quarterbacks haven't been playing well, offenses in general haven't been playing well. So this is kind of an extreme, perhaps, overreaction to that. I don't know that I would necessarily take this step. Scoring is up from the time period that Mel Kiper Jr. was talking about, with, you know, Johnny U and Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman and all those great quarterbacks. But, you know, it was a different game back then. Nowadays, there's a lot of rules set in place to protect players. Absolutely, it's great, but a lot of them make it easier for offenses for better or worse. So all offenses up, I'm not really an advocate for this rule, but, you know, I thought it was kind of an interesting thought process to explore because, you know, Major League Baseball has gone through quite a few rule changes, but obviously Major League Baseball dealing with some popularity issues. The NFL is not. The NFL is still the most popular sport in America by far. So I don't know that a rule change that is as drastic as this is necessary. And I don't think the NFL is probably going to be looking into this anytime soon. But we'll focus on the Bucks for the rest of the episode. I wanted to include that little sort of NFL view right there, some newsy stuff. Broncos obviously coming to town. This could be a bit of a trap game for the Bucks. You know, they've got a really difficult stretch after the Broncos. They have to play a bunch of division winners, the 49ers, Ravens. Obviously, they have to play the Falcons a couple of times. They've got some really tough matchups coming up after the Broncos, and obviously they're dealing with a lot of injuries as well, with the guys that I mentioned being out, Kalijah Kancey, Antoine Winfield Jr., and Luke Gadecki. They're not going to be available Sunday, so they're going to run with Justin Skule again at the right tackle position, more than likely, which is a bit tough, and, you know, it's going to be something to watch for. And, you know, that the Bucks are going to have to do a great job of focusing in, making sure they're taking care of business against a team that they should beat. And I know that Justin Skule, speaking of that guy, he allowed a few pressures from Aiden Hutchinson, 5 to be precise, and Aiden Hutchinson was able to convert that into 4.5 sacks. So that's something to monitor. You know, Zach Allen, sort of the Broncos stud defensive lineman. And, you know, that's going to be something interesting to monitor to see if the Bucks can kind of maybe game plan to avoid putting a lot of pressure on Skule, because obviously he's a bit less experienced and, you know, maybe not quite the caliber of right tackle that Luke Gadecki is. So, you know, maybe the Bucks will try to scheme, maybe do what the Saints have been doing, because the Saints have a horrible offensive line with a lot of boots, a lot of play action passes, just things to ease the pressure on the offensive line, get Baker out of the pocket, make things a little bit easier for this offense instead of focusing so much on, you know, high intensity and high execution play calls that they can sometimes fall into. But I thought it was interesting. The Broncos run a lot of cover one, and that's going to be something to monitor because Baker has been great against zone coverage. But, you know, he hasn't been as good against man. He's been above average, but he's really been able to pick apart teams defensively in the zone. So that'll be something to monitor as well. But shifting the focus to the defensive side of the ball, Bo Nix, the Bucs are going to be having to deal with a rookie quarterback. They obviously dealt with one in Jaden Daniels in week one, but Bo Nix is very different than Jaden Daniels, obviously. Daniels is quite an athletic quarterback. He does a lot with his legs. Bo Nix does not. He's very, very much sort of the dink and dunk, and maybe the reason that Mel Kiper Jr. was complaining so much. Bo Nix kind of plays into that. And the Broncos have quite a bit of issues on the offensive side of the ball. Their pass protection is just tough. They're 21st in the NFL in true pass set grades, according to Ben Baldwin, Twitter user. And they lost their starting right tackle, Mike McGlinkey. My goodness, I just butchered your name, Mr. Mike. Sorry about that. But he's headed to IR. He was with the 49ers for the past few years. He was kind of their big free agency acquisition. And he's a solid right tackle. So unfortunately, they're going to be without him. And they've got Garrett Bowles on the other side at left tackle. But, you know, their pass protection has been a bit of an issue, whether that's on the offensive line or on Bo Nix. That remains to be seen. And those things can take a while for the true talent to really, you know, show. But for now, I think the Bucs should have a pretty fun time, you know, even without Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey and with William Golston being questionable. I think that they could potentially have a huge advantage there getting after Bo Nix, making him uncomfortable, especially as a rookie. You know, he's only playing in his third NFL game. I'll be curious to watch how that plays out because he's only in front of Will Levis and Bryce Young for total estimated points added. So that's kind of tough. But going back to the offensive side of the ball, like I said, with the school thing, that's kind of something to monitor. But Baker Mayfield was also still only pressured around 32% last week. So that's better than last year's total. And I know Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, and Aline McNeil is also a great interior defensive lineman. So I think that's a tough matchup for them, and they still held up relatively well. Baker has over a 50% clean pocket rate, according to Jay Fort Gang. They just do a really, really nice job of keeping Baker comfortable. You know, they're able to do a lot of things to make sure that Baker's able to succeed, and he's done a really, really tremendous job there. He's been, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in football. He's sixth in EPA per dropback when he's not pressured, according to the FTN data. So that's really, really encouraging to see for sure. So I don't necessarily think that's going to be an issue, especially against this Broncos defense, which has been just kind of meh, not a lot to say there. That's going to be something to watch. But I'm looking for Mike Evans to see how he does against Patrick Surtain as well. I think that should be a really interesting matchup. He has one of the higher separation grades, according to Football Insights. I don't know that he'll be able to keep that up against Patrick Surtain. Surtain's one of the best corners in football, but that'll be something interesting to monitor. And we'll see how Chris Godwin does because, you know, he's been great to start the year, and he's been able to get some great separation as well. And that has, you know, that's shown in his results. So hopefully he'll be able to take advantage of maybe a Broncos secondary that isn't quite as strong other than Patrick Surtain. But speaking of that Bucs offense, they're really interesting. It's been really interesting how they've been able to be successful. They haven't really quite done a lot in the explosive play category, but they've been really consistent, you know, really high EPA per play ranking overall as a team. So that's really interesting. And they haven't run the ball well. That's obviously been the bugaboo for a while now, for the past few years, and that's just unfortunately how it is. But you know, that hopefully that'll fix itself as Graham Barton and the rest of this interior offensive line kind of figures itself out. But you know, we'll see how that goes moving forward. But we'll take a little bit of a view around the NFC South. And we talked about the Saints a little bit earlier, but I wanted to focus on them a little bit more because the Saints, man, they scored over 90 points over their first two games, which has been really, really impressive. Clint Kubiak has been doing a fantastic job with that offense. He's their new offensive coordinator. He was the passing game coordinator with the 49ers last year, and he moved over to the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, the Saints have struggled with Derek Carr over the years, or last year rather specifically. The offensive line has been a huge issue, but Kubiak has been able to step in. They've been calling a lot of play action passes and just making it easier for their blockers by using play action and a lot of motion, just to sort of, you know, make things a bit easier for Derek Carr in this offense, because they've got some explosive playmakers. Their receivers have been getting the most separation in the NFL, and it's just been really, really fun to watch Shahid and Olave. Shahid specifically, he's just been outstanding. Really, really fantastic job there. So that's been really interesting to watch. But we'll see how the Saints are able to do moving forward, because their defense can be a bit scary at times. They don't really have the elite pass rush that I think that a lot of people are maybe expecting. If you just look at the names, Cameron Jordan and Chase Young are big names, but I don't necessarily think that they're going to get big production from either one of them. So that's something to monitor moving forward, especially for the Bucs, because they're going to have to eventually play the Saints a couple of times this year, and they'll be competing with them for the division. So now we'll do our over-under segment. Mr. Tariq, even though he's not here, he came up with these figures. He came up with over-under 2.5 sacks for the Bucs. He went over on this. I'm also going to go over, for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned earlier, because, you know, the Broncos offensive line to begin with, it's not exactly the best unit in the NFL. They can tend to struggle a little bit, and without their starting right tackle, that's going to be tough. So I'm going to go with the over on 2.5 sacks. I think that's going to be a really interesting situation to monitor, though, because if the Bucs want to win this game, they're going to have to make Bo Nix uncomfortable. They can't just let him sit back there and sort of pick them apart, you know, death by a million paper cuts type of thing. That's how Bo Nix likes to operate, and he could potentially be successful with it. So that's going to have to be something that the Bucs try to, you know, get after JTS and Yaya Diaby. Hopefully they're able to do some nice things off the edge. Yaya's been okay. You know, he's been able to get a few pressures here and there. He hasn't done a horrible job, and JTS hasn't looked as bad. They've been serviceable. They've been fine. So, you know, that's going to be something to monitor moving forward. The other over-under that we've got, Chris Godwin, over-under 95 yards receiving. He's been getting a lot of target share over the first couple of weeks. Obviously, that's borne out in his huge numbers. So I'm going to go over, not super confidently, because I do think Baker incorporates McMillan quite a bit in this offense as well. McMillan obviously had a huge week in week one. Maybe he's comfortable in Raymond James. We'll see if that's maybe if that storyline maybe plays out. But with Surtain there, I do think that Surtain's just such an elite corner. That's going to be a huge just dogfight with him and Mike Evans. To shout out Mr. Tariq, he loves to call things dogfights. So yeah, I think that's going to be a huge matchup, and I think that will create some space hopefully for Godwin and Jalen McMillan, and hopefully Kate Otten too. But much to the benefit of my fantasy team, hopefully Kate Otten can have some nice games moving forward, because he's been tough. But Godwin has been great, and so I'm going to go over, but not super confidently. So that's going to be my over. That's going to be our over unders for this weekend. And now we'll finish off the episode with some predictions, because or a prediction, I guess, from me. I've got the Bucs winning this one 27-14. I think that they should come out strong. I think it'll be a nice game from Bucky and Rashad White. I think that they'll do a nice job of running the ball. You know, the Broncos defense just isn't necessarily the best in the NFL. They're not the Lions have a pretty solid defense, especially that front seven. They did a really nice job of limiting the run game for the Bucs. Not a whole lot going on there on the ground for the Bucs last week. But I think they can maybe change that. And hopefully, like I said, Chris Godwin, J-Mac, Jalen McMillan will have great games, because, you know, Patrick Surtain's going to do his thing. He's going to do a great job of limiting Mike Evans. And even if he doesn't, then Mike Evans explodes. That'll be great. Otherwise, regardless, I think the Bucs have a nice game, and I think they emerge from this week three matchup 3-0. So that'll be really interesting to watch. Hopefully we're coming back at you next week with a Bucs victory. We're coming near the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all sticking around and you know, listen to me talk about some Bucs football next week. It won't just be me, I promise. Mr. Tariq and Mr. Blaine will return. And if you're looking for around our site for some more Tampa Bay sports content, we've got it for you. Rays, Lightning, Rowdies, the Sun. We've got it all. Definitely check us out at RBLR Sports. Give us a follow there. You can give us a follow on socials at RBLR Bucks as well. We'll have some content coming out as the Bucks win this week, hopefully. But regardless, we'll see you next week for another episode. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, if you like what you heard, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. But as always, go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.